On KAXE, I'm Jennifer Barr with Danny Freyer, and you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio. We're telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9, and you can find us at KAXE.org or ask your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. You can text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you so much.
All right, some weather. We have some increasing clouds with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures near 76, breezy west winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And tonight, those clouds will gradually clear with lows around 58 and a slight chance of rain. And by the way, Lake Bemidji State Park has reopened. However, many hiking trails will remain closed for the time being. They hope to reopen the Bog Walk by the 4th of July.
Yeah, they should have their latest updates on their website. Just search for Lake Bemidji State Park, and they always have lots of information there. So you can find the latest. No, Bemidji's still dealing with their storm aftermath, and that fact that is our theme for Request Line coming up. Headwaters, DJ Dang's your host at 10:30. He'll play a selection of songs all about storms, and we'll take your suggestions. 218-326-1234. You can text us. Right now, we're going to hear some headlines from National Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Authorities in Idaho say they believe a gunman started a fire on Canfield Mountain yesterday and then opened fire on responding firefighters. Two firefighters were killed, a third was wounded. A motive is still under investigation. Jackson Holmes with Boise State Public Radio says the shootings occurred about 30 miles from Spokane, Washington.
At a press conference, Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris said about half an hour into fighting the fire, a gunman attacked fire personnel.
We had about 300 law enforcement officers that were on scene that were trying to make heads and tails out of what was occurring. And during this time, we exchanged gunfire with the suspect.
Two firefighters were killed, and one was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The suspect was found dead with a firearm nearby. Officers believe the shooter started the fire and acted alone. With NPR News, I'm Jackson Holmes.
Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina says he's decided not to run for re-election next year. As Steve Harrison with member station WFAE reports, Tillis has clashed with President Trump over the GOP's massive tax and spending cut bill that's now before the Senate.
Tillis was one of two Republicans who voted against moving forward with the president's signature tax and spending bill. He said it would hurt rural North Carolina. Trump wrote on Truth Social that Tillis was making a big mistake and that he would be meeting with candidates who want to challenge the two-term senator. In announcing he won't run for re-election, Tillis said he didn't want to spend, quote, another 6 years navigating the political theater and partisan gridlock in Washington. North Carolina is considered one of the Democrats' best chances to flip a Senate seat next year. For NPR News, I'm Steve Harrison in Charlotte.
President Trump has said he wants Congress to pass the budget bill by July 4th, which is Friday. Over the weekend, GOP senators voted to bring the package to the floor for debate, along with a series of amendments. That vote was 51 to 49. President Trump says he's not going to extend his current 90-day pause on tariffs for most countries beyond July 9th. The president told the Fox News program Sunday Morning Futures, countries that have not agreed to a trade deal by then will be notified by the administration about what trade penalties will go into effect. Jury deliberations are scheduled to begin today in New York in the trial of hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. He's charged with sex trafficking and racketeering conspiracy. Combs has pleaded not guilty to the charges. The trial's been going on since early May. This is NPR News. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett says he plans to donate $6 billion worth of Berkshire Hathaway stock to five foundations. He says the transactions will be handled today. The largest donation is going to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Trust. That foundation is a financial supporter of NPR. Buffett has donated tens of billions of dollars worth of company stock since 2006. The Brad Pitt racing movie F1 was number one at the North American box office over the weekend. NPR's Bob Mondello has more.
It was never going to be much of a contest. F1 had the weekend more or less to itself, just Megan 2.0, a horror sequel, opening against it. Still, the track record for movies that are not part of an established animated or superhero franchise has been spotty lately, and that's also true for racing movies and for movies from Apple, which has had a few critical hits, its Best Picture Oscar winner Coda, for instance, but has never had a box office hit before this. F1 raced to $55 million in its first 3 days in North America and collected another $88 million overseas. It still has a few laps to go before it turns a profit, as it cost $200 million to make. But with excellent word of mouth, it's expected to go the distance. Bob Mondello, NPR News.
Areas of southern Europe are in the grips of a heat wave. Afternoon temperatures in countries including Italy, Greece, and Spain have topped 100 degrees in recent days. Two-thirds of Portugal was on high alert yesterday because of the extreme heat. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
It is 8:06. Thanks for listening to the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Danny Freyer. And support comes from Hibbing Chrysler Center, serving northern Minnesota, carrying Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, with staff available to assist on the Beltline in Hibbing or at hibbingchrysler.us. We also thank North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to talk about memory maker kits that are available at the Brainerd Public Library.
All right, a heads up for our folks caught in the storms last week. Please be vigilant about storm damage scammers. You can find a list of verified tree service providers at the Bemidji Chamber of Commerce's Facebook page.
All right, yes. And you can find the latest information that we have on Bemidji storm cleanup efforts and things like that at kaxe.org. We're going to hear some new music now. Iron and Wine have a new single out called Robin's Egg, and this one features the group I'm With Her.
That's what it was, if that's what it was.
That is new music from Iron and Wine featuring I'm With Her. It's called Robin's Egg, just Robin's Egg. And it is the Monday Morning Show here on KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Danny Freyer.
Lakes Area Memory Awareness Advocates have teamed up with the Brainerd Public Library to provide memory maker kits. The kits are designed for caregivers of those experiencing memory challenges. Joining us now is Laurel Hall from the Brainerd Public Library. Hi, Laurel.
Hello.
Good morning. So we want to hear more about these kits. There are 10 available. They all have different themes. What kinds of items are in the kits and how do people use them?
So there's all sorts of things. They're supposed to be able to be tied together with people with different levels of memory loss. And so there are books in there that have bright pictures so that people can go through and look at them and ask questions like, how do you remember doing something like this when you were a kid? For example, there's a farming kit. So there's books that have old tractors. And so they can talk about that from their memories. And then there's also physical objects. So for example, in the farming one, there is little tractors of different sizes and colors so that, and farming implements of different kinds so that they can talk about their past with farming. There's also ones on gardening, quilting, fishing, and a bunch of others that can be catered towards people's different interests and pasts.
Very cool.
So how can people go about checking these memory kits out?
So they just need to have a valid library card with the Brainerd Public Library. And so if you live within our 5-county region, which is Beltrami, Hubbard, Wadena, Cass, or Crow Wing counties, you just need to bring your ID with your current address and we'll get you set up with a library card. Of course, if you already have one, that's no problem. We can just check it right out. They check out for a week and then can just be returned.
All right. And just so you are part of the Kitchigami Library, Regional Library System, correct?
That's correct.
And but the kits, they're just available in Brainerd. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. It was a special project we had together with the Lakes Area Memory Awareness Association.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how did these come to be? How were they funded?
So they were Teresa Mortensen came to me and said, hey, are you interested in having these? They had had them at the Alexandria Public Library. And we said, yeah, we would love to be able to reach out to this segment of our population. And so they were able to find funding through various groups like the Minnesota Council on Aging and the Minnesota State, and then also a number of businesses that cater to home health care.
Okay. And Lakes Area Memory Awareness Advocates, they've also donated several books to the library, too, that can help people that are caregiving.
Yes. So we have, I believe, 19 or 20 books that are all focused on caregiver responsibilities, figuring out how all of that works, the different stages of memory loss and the things that you might encounter as you're working through that with your loved one, and then other resources like medical considerations.
All right.
Can you tell us more about Lakes Area Memory Awareness Advocates?
I don't know a ton, but I do know that they're a great nonprofit in our area that does a lot of work around helping caregivers in particular to be able to advocate for their needs and prevent burnout, prevent difficulties in that really difficult task of taking care of someone who has memory loss.
Yeah, I know it's becoming, you know, just as our baby boomer population is getting older, you know, it's becoming more and more common, I think, and having to caregive for those people, and it's a big issue, and I'm glad there are things like this available in the area that can, you know, kind of help. So
yeah, we think it's a really important part of our mission is to reach out to all different people in our area and to serve all of our residents, and so this was something that we really latched onto and wanted to be able to provide this service for people.
All right. Well, that is Laurel Hall from the Brainerd Public Library. You can visit the library to look at the Memory Maker kits, or they can also be requested online. Is that correct?
Yes, you can just go onto our catalog at krls.org.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Laurel, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. It is the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with Danny Frayer. Support comes from Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984. Performing auto body and collision repair, as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com. It's looking like a pretty beautiful morning out there.
Yeah.
So far. It's a little breezy.
Just a little bit breezy. We're going to have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms today, though. With highs roughly around 76 degrees tonight, those clouds that we might be seeing today will be gradually clearing with lows around 58, and again a slight chance of rain. Just another heads up for folks caught in the storms last week, please be vigilant about storm damage scammers. You can find a list of verified tree service providers at the Bemidji Chamber of Commerce's Facebook page.
Coming up at 8:30, we'll have a special edition of the Up North Report. Larissa Donovan talking about the importance of mental health, especially with those dealing with the storm damage. It's been not only physical work, but a kind of a mental load too when you're dealing with a changed landscape. And you know, when people were without power, that, you know, it's kind of a hard thing, especially when it goes on and on like that. So we'll hear more about that on the Up North Report. And then coming up at 8:45, we're going to talk with Amy Detmer about the Timberman Triathlon. They are celebrating their 40th anniversary. Then at 9 o'clock, Headwaters, DJ Dank's going to bring you a great mix of music. We'll have your slice of green cheese at 9:45. And then it is Monday, which means request line. And DJ Dang, one of those Bemidji people who has been affected by storms, it's on weighing heavy on his mind, so he wants to hear your song suggestions about storms. You can text us 218-326-1234. Also, we would love to hear your parade stories. That is our question of the week. You can text 218-326-1234. I mentioned earlier that I've been in the Spicer 4th of July parade a number of times. That's my hometown. Just so happens, my coworker, our coworker, Chris Walker, development director here, spent some time in Spicer. And he ran the Zorba's restaurant there. The Zorba's chain is kind of all over the state. And he said, a regular of ours let us decorate one of his old model cars as a Zorba's mobile. I dressed up in a burrito costume and we toss out candy for kids and drink chips for adults. I think they were more excited than the kids were. He also has to give a shout out to the Padua parade on St. Patrick's Day. I feel like I remember them proclaiming it was the shortest parade in the world or something like that. I think it was three floats that went down one block of the tiny town, turned around, back down the other way, parade over. Although I need to just say, I think Bemidji claims the world's shortest St. Patrick's Day parade, actually. They go just across the street from one Irish pub to the other.
Oh gosh, we're gonna have to like set a record or something.
Yeah, make it official. So yeah, we want to hear your parade experiences. Text 218-326-1234. All right, now we're gonna hear some more from Morning Edition. They're gonna talk about some advice for surviving cancer, and also we're gonna hear about the Slavic Spin Challenge.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Layla Faldin.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. This year, more than 2 million Americans will hear the scary words, you have cancer. Let's say it's someone you know. What's the best thing to say or do or not say? NPR's Yuki Noguchi brings us some advice from people who know.
When Ashley Levinson got breast cancer at 52, she didn't expect so many friends and family to then avoid her. Levinson, a single mom, wanted to hear from them.
Saying, hey, are you okay? That validates that they understand that what you're going through is difficult and that even if they're not there every single day, that they're going to be there when you feel you need to turn to them at your weakest moment.
A year and a half later, Levinson is now cancer-free, but says the pain of isolation remains.
I felt like I was burdening other people when I was just trying to hold myself together.
So Levinson says, don't ghost people who get cancer. Broaching the topic can be hard, says Kara Keenan, who was 35 with a four-year-old when breast cancer reordered her life and many of her relationships. A dozen years later, Keenan is now healthy and teaches professional courses for cancer coaches. She's also a spokesperson for the National Coalition for Cancer Survivorship. So she thinks a lot about how to support people. For starters, she says, don't compare.
The number one complaint is when other people who are well-meaning and, you know, they're sharing, I know what you're going through. My grandmother had cancer. And oh, by the way, she died.
Instead, she says, ask first whether someone wants to talk about it. Then simply listen if they do. Allow them space to vent.
But be prepared to be there if they do want to talk about it.
Keenan says unwanted advice, or worse, rosy platitudes like, you'll beat this, are especially irritating.
It makes me feel like some of the darker stuff that I'm dealing with inside isn't okay.
She says it's better to just say, that sucks. And then there's a very common, let me know if I can do something. The intent is generous, Keenan says, but
they are completely overwhelmed. The last thing that they need is to then come up with a list of ways that this wonderful person can help them.
Instead, be very specific. Like, I'm going to the store. Could I pick up some groceries for you? Keenan says apps like MealTrain allow users to coordinate meal deliveries and specify dietary needs.
So if you really want to help, showing up in really specific, practical ways and knowing what you're willing to do and just offering that, putting it out there, you're way more likely to get someone to take you up on that than if you just say, you know, let me know how I can help.
More people are surviving cancer because of better medicine. But Keenan says side effects and other challenges can persist long after the cancer clears.
Everybody celebrates. They ring a bell. Everybody's like, yes, you beat it. And then they go back to their normal lives, and that survivor is like, this isn't over for me, right? Their whole life has changed, and they are going to continue to need support.
Keenan says her favorite shows of ongoing support include friends who get their screenings or advocate for cancer research.
That is so powerful to me as the survivor, to see other people stepping up for their own health and stepping up for others.
And that, she says, feels like love. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
Support for NPR health coverage comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 30,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public. And from AG1, introducing AG1 Next Gen, a daily drink with vitamins, minerals, and probiotics to support overall health. Learn more at drinkag1.com/science.
Viral videos on TikTok are debating the right way to Slavic spin. That's a dance move which goes by many different names in Slavic countries, and as you can imagine, requires one to spin.
One TikTok user who goes by the name Blonde at School posted a video with the caption, okay, I'm taking on the Slavic challenge. She spins with her arms on her waist, leading with her shoulders. She's got over 200,000 likes.
Another user with the handle Softbean received more than 600,000 likes for her spin.
To get to the bottom of the inspiration for this trend, we visited the DC Music Academy to talk to some pros.
If you want, our real dancer will show you the right spin.
That's Solomia Orochivska. She's the co-founder of a school in Fairfax, Virginia that teaches Ukrainian music and dance. She says that in Ukraine, the spin goes by the name Prepadanya.
This is one of the main features of Ukrainian dance. This is a part of the big dance compositions.
Dance instructor Victoria Balyakina demonstrates.
In Ukrainian dance professional, we start pripadanya in sir position. This called sir position.
Her feet are crossed, toes pointing out, and she begins to spin.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in turn. 5, 6, 7, 8.
It works best with music, of course.
Hop, hop, hop.
The crew at the DC Music Academy have seen the viral Slavic spin challenge online, but point out that there is no right way to spin. Every country, every village even, has their own way of doing it.
Orahusva says her school teaches a Ukrainian way to do it.
It's very exciting. It's very energetic, very powerful. If you need to lose weight, you dance Ukrainian dance. If you want to be looking beautiful, you dance Ukrainian dance. If you have to have cheer up yourself, you dance Ukrainian dance and you spin. And all these elements that that make your body be very fit and your mind is just so, so spiritual.
I would give it a spin, but I might get dizzy.
Me too.
People who have lost the ability to move or speak may soon have a new option, a surgically implanted device that links their brain to a computer. One of the best-known companies working on this is Elon Musk's Neuralink. Groups with less name recognition but more experience appear closer to actually getting it to market. Listen this afternoon on All Things Considered in the NPR app, on your smart speaker, or on this public radio station. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel.
And I'm Michelle Martin.
It is 8:28. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr. My co-host today is Danny Freyer. Danny is a news intern with us this summer, student at the University of Minnesota. You're about to start your senior year, is that correct?
Yes, this fall will be my fourth and hopefully final year at the University of Minnesota studying journalism and Spanish and linguistics, but mainly journalism.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot this summer so far. You've been here almost a month and you've been looking at lots of different things. You got to learn about the Wildfire Academy. You also are looking at the return of the forest health after the Brimson Complex fire. And what else have you been doing lately?
I've been doing a lot. I started with the Wildfire Academy, and then I've also, like you said, covered forest recovery after the wildfires. Some of it is starting to grow back already. I've also covered the world record attempt with the Judy Garland Museum, partnering with Mobility Mania, the nonprofit for accessibility for all. Each of them from about roughly 10 years ago have their own world record. Judy Garland with the most people dressed head to toe in Wizard of Oz costumes at one place at one time. And then Mobility Mania, number of wheelchairs rolling in succession. And they just tried for, I believe, most wheelchairs dancing in one place at one time. They didn't quite make it, but it's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, and there was some fabulous photos that Lori Schall took, correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's at our website, kaxe.org. That was a super hot day.
It was really hot.
I think they were hoping to get some, senior living homes there, and I think it was just a little too hot to bring some of those folks out to participate in that. So they did not quite make the record, but still looked like a really fun day based on the photos and your story.
It was really fun. There were still smiles all around. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be hearing more from you as you're here for about just over another month or so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that, and we've enjoyed having you. Support comes from North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org. We also thank Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. You can learn more online at hottubsmn.com. Let's see, our current temperatures, it's been warming up pretty fast this morning. We are at 69 degrees in Bemidji, or in Brainerd and Grand Rapids, 64 in Bemidji, 67 in Hibbing. Weather for today?
Yes, the weather for today looks like we're going to be getting some more clouds today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures of roughly 76 degrees, some breezy west winds around 5 to 15 miles per hour. And tonight, those clouds will gradually clear with lows around 58 and a slight chance of rain. In Bemidji, Lake Bemidji State Park has reopened, though many hiking trails will remain closed for the time being. They do hope to reopen the Bog Walk by the 4th of July.
And support comes from the Watermark Art Center in downtown Bemidji with exhibits, classes, and handcrafted original art made by regional artists found in their shop 505. The center is accessible and open to the public, watermarkartcenter.org. It is time now for a special edition of the Up North Report.
For KEXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. As Bemidji works to rebuild after a devastating windstorm on June 21st, Ashley McMartin with Sanford Behavioral Health reminds us to take care of ourselves and each other first. The following conversation was edited for length with a full version available at KAXE.org. Getting hit on every side here, it feels like, Ashley. And, you know, even those of us who, you know, white knuckle it to the end in the best of times might be feeling a little more pressure than usual.
Spot on to what it means to be a human being during a disaster. Right? Like, really, we're talking about our nervous system's response to something that it can't fathom. Our nervous system is designed to respond in fight, flight, or freeze to stressful situations in like little stints. And when we experience disaster, that just like continues and prolongs, and it's held on to by our body, right? Like, it has to, because our nervous system's sole responsibility is to keep us alive.
And we're talking about that amygdala, that caveman brain part of us, right?
I'm talking about the medulla oblongata, the brain stem. Our amygdala is kind of in our midbrain.
Okay.
It's brain stem is really that reptilian brain. It's what, at the end of the day, keeps us alive. It controls things like heart rate and breathing and those different pieces. Our amygdala gets into our like the emotional processing center of our brain. And as we start to establish safety in our world, which will eventually come, I know right now it feels questionable, but as we establish safety in our world, our amygdala is going to light on fire, because it's going to try to make sense of a world that doesn't make sense right now, to be honest with you. Like, how can these things happen? How do I turn and look down this street and it's absolutely destroyed, and this one house is okay, but we're all tired and we're all exhausted, and I have to go talk to different, like, I think about your role, you probably hear many different stories about people that are impacted.
What should people be looking forward to? Like, what can people do to cope? Like, I know there's a lot of like the breathing exercises, but it's hard to do your breathing exercises when you've been running a chainsaw for the last, I don't know, 4 days.
So biggest things when we're in survival mode is like food, water, sleep, right? Like grounding ourselves in those really simple things, making sure we're eating as healthy a food as we can. Even that's disrupted, right? Like, I went to the grocery store on Tuesday. There wasn't a single refrigerated or frozen item within the grocery store because they had to toss it all. Right. So even that is a sign of like, oh, that's right. That's where the community's at with things right now. So as we get out of that, in our environment, our nervous system sometimes doesn't always keep the pace at which our environment adjusts. So making sure that as the environment changes, we're intentionally changing and adapting with it to, okay, I got running water now. I don't have to conserve water. So I need to make sure that I'm drinking enough throughout the day. I have refrigeration now. How do I start to resume eating normal meals when before it was whatever I could find that was safe, right?
You know, maybe some resources Sanford has available, perhaps.
We are at Sanford working on getting an idea of storm and disaster related distress that people are experiencing. So if someone is noticing, like, I'm not doing well, or like, I just feel really keyed up and this isn't necessarily dissipating as I anticipated it to be. I'm asking that people call our care coordination line. We have someone earmarked to just write down names. This wouldn't be to like enroll in behavioral health services. This is just to get an idea of people out in the community that would be interested in like a community healing event that addresses their mental health. And so if anyone is interested, they can call Kayla Smith at 218-333-2310.
That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
You can hear the latest edition of the Up North Report today at 5:30 during All Things Considered here on KAXE. Also, lots of stories at our website, kaxe.org. There is a photo gallery of Itasca Pride, which happened last weekend. There is also a story that Kari Hedlund did on with Molly Mayer and Eric Koskinen talking to them, and local music and lots more. It's all at kaxe.org. I'm Jennifer Barr with Danny Freyer. Thanks for listening to the Monday Morning Show.
For weather today, we have increasing clouds with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperature of 76 today, breezy west winds of 5 to 15 miles per hour. In the evening, those clouds will gradually clear and we'll see some lows around 58 degrees and a slight chance of rain. Just a reminder for those caught in the storms, please be vigilant about storm damage scammers. You can find a list of verified tree service providers at the Bemidji Chamber of Commerce's Facebook page.
Programming on KAXE. KBXE is supported in part by the Minnesota Board on Aging's Legal Kiosk, offering no-charge assistance with housing benefits, custody, and more. Legal Kiosk, located in libraries and local trusted community spaces, connect Minnesotans with legal information and virtual meeting access. In some locations, court forms may be printed at no cost. Help is available in many languages. More online at legalkiosk.org. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Headwaters with DJ Dang, and request line theme for today, songs about storms. 11 o'clock, it's World Cafe, and coming up at 1 o'clock, David John is your volunteer host for On the River, so stay tuned. Right now, we're going to hear some music from Femi Kuti. It's the title track to the latest album, Journey Through Life.
life is a process. Enjoy and learn from experience.
Do the best of your journey through life.
Say yeah, yeah.
That is new music from Femi Kuti, the title track to the new album Journey Through Life. It is the Monday Morning Show here on People Powered KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with my co-host, news intern Danny Fraher. And joining us now, Amy Detmer. We're going to talk about the Timberman Triathlon. They are celebrating 40 years. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, sure. It's hard to believe 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a testament to the venue, which is out at Sugar Lake Lodge on Sugar Lake. The volunteers we have, many keep coming back year after year. And our race committee, we have three people on the race committee who have been there since day one.
Wow.
Our treasurer, the race doctor, and then the gentleman who sets up the bike and run courses. And then, I mean, most of the people on the committee have years of experience as well. So...
yeah, well, let's just kind of get with the basics. Where is the Timberman Triathlon located? And then how can people get involved in it?
Yeah, so it's out at Sugar Lake Lodge on Sugar Lake. And this year, it's Saturday, July 12th. It starts at 8 a.m. And there's three different race distances. There's an Olympic, a sprint, and then a super sprint. So really something for everybody. The website that you can visit is timberman.org, and that's how you can register. And registration is still open through next Thursday, July 10th at 11:59 p.m.
Okay.
So there's still plenty of time to register, everybody.
How did this get started 40 years ago?
So there was a forester from Blandon, John McCoy, who decided that there needed to be a local triathlon. And so he started it up with some seed money from Blandon. And then it's just been going every year. There was one year, apparently, where there was a fire out at the lodge. So they didn't have it. And then, of course, in COVID, we didn't have it in 2020. But otherwise, it's been going strong. And we get athletes from local athletes, of course, from throughout the state, from other states. And usually we have Canadians. I haven't checked to see how many we have this year, but typically we have a nice contingency from usually Thunder Bay that comes down.
So you said there are three different lengths. Is there a standard, the Olympic, what is the distances?
Yeah, so the Olympic is a mile swim, 25-mile bike, and then a 6-mile run. The sprint is 587-yard swim, 11-mile bike, and then a 3-mile run. And then the super sprint is the shortest. And that's 256-yard swim, 5.5-mile bike, and then 1.5-mile run. And for the sprint and the Olympic distances, you could also have a team, a 2- or 3-member team. Otherwise, you can do it individually, whereas the super sprint is just strictly for individuals.
Okay.
And the super sprint, we have a nice range of ages. We have young kids. We've had them as young as 8 years old. And parents will sometimes do the races with the kids. And then, you know, we have older people as well. So the super sprint is really kind of a nice entry race distance for any age.
Okay. And it starts with a swim. Is this correct?
That is correct. Yes. Swim
Danny
is.
And, Danny and I were wondering, like, it seems like you'd want to end with the swim, but.
However, by that time, you're a little more tired. So it would be nice for the heat factor. Mm-hmm. However, it always starts with the swim and then the bike and then the run. And the interesting thing, okay, so, you know, you do your swim, you come on the beach, and then you get on your bike. And the tricky part is always getting off the bike, because when you're on your bike, you're kind of hunched over, you know, a little bit more, your body, you're not really spread out so much. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, once you get off your bike, you have to start walking and then you have to start running. So it's all the transition between the bike and the run can be quite shocking, depending on how well trained you are and how many you've done. But yeah, it's always an interesting feeling. It's like, oh boy, now
all and of a sudden your body's got to do a whole different
thing. Exactly. Like, right. Yeah. And when you're on the bike, you know, you're going faster. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, the brakes have come on. And now I have to try to reorient and figure out how to run again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's an interesting sport. That's for sure.
Is that the most challenging part about it? Just that transition from bike to run, or?
I would say so. The other thing for a lot of athletes is the open water swim. You know, people are maybe used to swimming in a pool, but the open water swim, you have a lot of people around you. There, depending on how windy it is, there can be a lot of waves. You know, there's just kind of a lot of factors. So I think, you know, depending on the person, the open water swim can be maybe a little bit more challenging as well.
Yeah. Do each of the three different lengths, do they start at different times? So that's spread out a little bit?
It is, yeah. So the Olympic is the first race, and that starts at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do is we do a self-seed on the shore. So people just kind of slot in wherever they want. And then there's a timing mat that they go over, and then they start swimming.
Okay.
And then when they come in, and then at 8:25 is the sprint, and then the last race is the super sprint. So they do get spread out a little bit, which helps.
How many participants are going, say, in the Olympic length? Like, how many are in the lake at one time?
Yeah, usually, let's say, like 70 or so. The biggest race is the sprint. And okay. We usually have about 150, maybe 200 for that. So that one gets a little bit more, a lot more waves, a lot of legs kicking and that kind of thing. And then the super sprint, we usually have about 35 or so.
Okay.
When you start, does that mean you have to finish, or is there like, are there people who, you know, kind of take a break or?
Well, sometimes, if something physically is happening to you, you might not be able to finish the race, but ideally, you know, once you start the race, you're doing the swim, bike, and the run. But there have been, like if something physically is happening, then you might have to pull out. And if you pull out on the swim, you can finish the race, but you're not going to get a time.
Mm-hmm.
We pull the timing chip. And
and
so you're not going to get a time. If you wanted to, you could finish, but, you know, most people, they're kind of done.
Yeah. We are talking with Amy Detmer on the 40th anniversary of the Timberman Triathlon. It is happening Saturday, July 12th, starting at Sugar Lake near Grand Rapids. Do you still need volunteers? What are the volunteers like?
So we have typically about 150 volunteers. We have volunteers that are on boats. We have kayakers, and then we have volunteers on land as well. If you want interested in volunteering, you could email racedirector@timberman.org, and that goes to me. And if you're interested in racing, come on, let's do it. Sign up.
All right. Well, you make it sound really fun and easy, even though for me, I was telling Danny earlier, I'm like, this sounds like my nightmare.
Mine too, to be honest.
Not that I'm opposed to physical activity. It's just I am not a strong swimmer, and the thought of being in a lake with lots of people, it just stresses me out. But
right, yes. You could always do a team, Jennifer.
That's true.
Right.
You can split it up.
You can. You could do two-person or a three-person team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily have to swim?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Well, you could find someone to swim, and then you could do the bike and the run,
mm-hmm.
or you could find two other people, and then you could just do one part. And okay. same with you, Danny. You could do the same thing.
That sounds great. That sounds much better. I was picturing like, doing everything, but...
But no, you don't have to. If you do sprint and Olympic, you could be on a team.
Mm-hmm. Well, very cool. Anything else we should know?
Just that it's our 40th annual.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a great testament to the race committee, to volunteers, to the whole organization. People have been very dedicated and yeah, it's just been a great thing. My husband and I have been with the race committee for probably 15 years and we've been race directors for 10.
So as race directors, does that mean you're just busy organizing everything and do you get to participate in it?
Oh geez, no.
Okay.
I can't. I get too stressed out. It would not work for me.
Yeah.
We just have to make sure that all the pieces and the parts are put together. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we have the race committee and they're great at doing their small part. We just have to make sure that if they have questions or whatever, we can.
Yeah. And who sets up all the bikes? Because I imagine people get out of the lake. Do they just like have their bikes set up ready to go?
Yep. So on Friday, we do race course setup. So we have the bike corral, we call it, and we put up the bike racks. We put up the bike racks. And then the athletes on Saturday morning, once transition opens, they come in and they can put their bike wherever they want. Okay. We don't have any specific place to put it. And then they put their bike, and then usually you're going to have your shoes with you, maybe a water bottle, maybe some goo, some gel, something like that. You just put it all right there by your bike.
Mm-hmm. Then it's all good to go.
It is, yeah.
All right.
And make sure your tires are blown up, you know, that kind of thing. And you have a helmet. You have to have a helmet. We are a USA Triathlon-sponsored race, which means we get our insurance, race insurance, through them. But they do have a few rules, and one of those is, of course, you have to wear a helmet. And there are a few others, but yeah.
All right. Well, that's Amy Detmer with Timberman Triathlon. You can find more information at timberman.org. Registration deadline is 11:59 p.m. on Thursday, July 10th.
That's correct.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
distracting. Please just love me. Just love me. Just love me. Love me.
That's new music from Esther Rose. That one features Video Age as well. It's called Tailspin from Esther Rose's latest album called Want. Here on the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXC, I'm Jennifer Barr with Danny Freyer.
Weather today, we have some increasing clouds with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and high temperatures near 76. For the day, breezy west winds around 5 to 15 miles per hour, maybe a bit higher. And tonight, those clouds will gradually clear with low temps around 58 degrees and a slight chance of rain still.
At KAXC, local matters, and we bring you updates on news and events relative to our rural communities. We do this because we live here too, and federal funding helps make this kind of local coverage possible. The U.S. House recently voted to rescind money that has already been allocated for public media, and this will go to the Senate next. You can visit protectmypublicmedia.org to share what KAXC brings to our community. Thanks so much for listening. Coming up at 9 o'clock, DJ Dang with Headwaters. His request line for this Monday is Songs About Storms. You can text in your suggestions, 218-326-1234. That's coming up at 10:30.
This is 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids, 90.5 KPXC Bakely Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. You can join us at kxe.org.
Professional yo-yo performer Dazzling Dave will be visiting libraries in northwestern Minnesota Tuesday and Wednesday, including Bagley, Faustin, and Gomvik. You can find a list of dates and times at dazzlingdave.com.
The United Way of Bemidji and the Community Resource Connections are coordinating storm relief efforts like debris removal and more for residents on private property affected by storm damage. You can find resources at 218-333-0880 or crcinform.org. Donations to the disaster.